Hi, welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. I am Linda Rex, and I'm happy to have you here today with me. We're going to talk about the Word being in us and with us. What does that mean for our walk with Christ? And this is a sermon for August 13th of 2023, and we're going to talk about Romans 10, 5 to 15. We'll read that at some point. We will have communion at the end if you'd like to prepare ahead. And that kind of gets us started on what we're going to be doing. Would you join with me in prayer and then we'll get started? Father, Son, Spirit, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you that everything we do in Christ with you by the Spirit. We're all bound together into one life, and that's how you wanted it to be from the beginning. And so today, Holy Spirit, we ask that we might more clearly see the Father and Jesus, and that we might more deeply be rooted or have rooted within us the Word of God through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I got to thinking the other day that I am very blessed by the way I was raised by my parents. And they wanted me to grow up learning the Word of God. Now, I didn't always appreciate the way this happened. I went to a private school when I was younger and had the Word of God practically stuffed into me because I had to memorize this and memorize that. But to this day, though, I have found that there are benefits to memorizing the Word of God. When I need a certain word, the Holy Spirit is able to pull out those memories, and I can remember things that are very helpful to me at times. So when I talk about Bible learning, I don't want anyone to think that it's not a good thing to do. It is a good thing to do. There is a lot of wisdom in the Bible. If you're struggling in learning how to make wise decisions, especially as a young person, you might consider reading the Proverbs. There are a lot of guidelines that kind of give us some coaching on, well, typically this is what you might expect will happen if you continue to do this. They're helpful. If you're going through a very painful, difficult time, or if you are ticked off and angry at God or somebody else, read the Psalms. They're excellent. They're songs, and they express in a powerful way our experience as human beings. And also, if you're just wanting to get started and learning about who God is, begin with the Gospels, and get to know Jesus Christ, and then get to know a little bit about the early church. And the apostles teach us a lot of great stuff about how to live out what we learn about who Jesus is and who we are in him. And we want to learn about the history of Jesus and where this all came from. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. But we always want to keep the Bible within the framework of what? Jesus Christ. And we'll talk a little bit about that. That's important. There are benefits to studying the Bible, but we need to realize that we don't want it to just go kind of skin deep, nor do we want to take it into rigid rules and regulations. And now how you read the Bible is important. You need to understand that the Bible was written in individual books by people within the worldview of that time, within that culture, within that point of view, and their particular life experience. And so there are some human elements to what God inspired in the scripture. And we have to keep in mind that when you read a psalm, it's a song, it's poetry, and it kind of needs to be applied with that in mind when we use it to apply it in our lives. So that gives you an example of what I'm trying to say here. So the Bible is helpful. It's useful. It teaches us about who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. It teaches us about ourselves, who God created us to be, the relationship we were created to be for in relation with Him, and what happened when that got all messed up, and now the world got all messed up. And it teaches us about what God did to begin to make that right, and what He's going to do to finish that all up, and where He is right now in our lives. So there's some good stuff there that would be helpful to us. But we need to understand, it needs to go further than just skin deep. And we have to not turn it into rigid rules and regulations that we do ourselves to try to fix everything ourselves. What we find is it describes in many ways life in the Trinity, what it means that Father, Son, and Spirit live as three persons in one being, in other-centered love, as unique persons, equal and yet one. And that's the image of God in which we were created and created to have right relationship with. And unfortunately, we live in this world that pulls us totally a different direction, and even our flesh pulls us away. And so the Bible talks about how that gets corrected. So in our passage today, this is in Romans, it says, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." And so we see in here that the Apostle Paul is kind of putting up against one another righteousness based on law versus righteousness based on faith. And we find the righteousness based on law, there are benefits to that. So if you learn about law, like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, that can be helpful because it teaches you not to steal, not to kill, to honor your parents, you know, to love God. You know, and Jesus summed up those Ten Commandments in loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and being, love your neighbor as yourself. There are benefits to living according to those things because you tend to have less cursings in your life. You tend to have more blessings. You tend to have peace with other people if you're not killing others. You tend to not be invaded as much. You tend to have less painful consequences when you're trying to live in the way that God describes in his law. And we find in the law was meant to be a description, not a prescription, but a description of what it looks like to live in the way the Trinity lives, to live in healthy community. Now, There are things that we learn from the law. But sad thing is, we as human beings, a lot like the old nation of Israel years ago, tend to want to do what is right in our own eyes. In fact, you read the book of Joshua and Judges mostly, and it just seemed like that's all they wanted to do, even though they had God's guidance and how to live together in union and communion with God and one another. This nation is of ancient Israel preferred to do what was right in their own eyes. And so what we found is they were constantly being invaded. They had these horrible divisions. They had people, some of the stuff that happened was just awful. You just read the book of Judges and you're horrified at the things that happened. And it's because they chose to do what was right in their own eyes instead of doing what God said would work, instead of living the way he described to them what it meant to live in life in relationship with him. But the thing is, if we try to just simply live according to the law and just make it into these rules that we keep, and if I get the rules right, then everything will be hunky-dory. See, that's the way human beings do it. We're like, I need to get right with God. I need to be a good person. If I just do everything just right, then everything will go well in my life. And that's what we bring it down to. And we totally miss the point of the whole thing, which is we're to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, and love our neighbor as ourself. And that happens to do with L-O-V-E, which has to do with relationship. It has to right relationship, which is righteousness. So we make it out like it's all up to us to get ourselves right with God, and unfortunately, no matter how hard we try, we just can't get there from here. Somehow we end up making it worse than it ever was in the first place. We make ourselves slaves to the law. And so this is kind of, so often it's like this external effort to try to make ourselves do what it is we ought to do, what we think we're supposed to do. And, to determine, and we're always judging what is evil, what is good, what is evil, what is good. And totally missing the point that if we're living in right relationship with God, we'll know what's appropriate, what's not. Because, he speaks that to our hearts and he teaches us. And God never meant for us to go through all this. He meant for us to live in a right relationship with him. And in that relationship with him, when we're looking at him, we'll know it's not supposed to be. We'll know the difference. When we have our focus, face-to-face relationship with him, we learn what it is to live the way he always meant us to live. Because we'll start looking like him. A child. So often, I remember my kids, when dad went out the door with boots on, then he had to put his boots on. When I was being cranky, then she had to be cranky. It's like, be like mom or dad, But the more we focus on our Heavenly Father and on Jesus, the more we begin to look like. And that's not an external stuffing in. That is something that's this way, right? So here he's talking about the righteousness based on faith. And how does that happen? Well, Jesus comes, lives a truly human life as God in human flesh. He's the Word of God, the Son of God, the one who made through whom and for whom all things are made. That's what the scripture says. He comes, lives our life, and turns us back to the Father. He lives our human life. He was tempted in every point just as we are, yet without sin. That's what the scripture says. So he lives the life we were meant to live. He dies the death we deserve to die for our sin, for our failure. We turn on him. We kill him. What does he do? He lies in the grave. And because he's God in human flesh, what? The Father, Spirit, Jesus, raised that human flesh from the grave. And in we have new life in him. We have a life in face-to-face relationship with God that is fully, truly human. That is flesh, the way it's meant to be. And Jesus takes that home in the ascension to the Father, and that's where he is. And he sends us the Spirit. See, the thing is, the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament that this was always their intention. That before time began, it was intended that the Son of God would come to live our life, die our death, and rise again, to reform our human flesh. It was always their intention that we would be in right relationship with God. We look at the book of Genesis. In the beginning, where do we see Adam and Eve walking and talking with God in the garden? That's how it was meant to be. We look at the end of the story in Revelation 21:22. We see God comes to earth and begins to live with human, with all of us. That is how it was always meant to be, that God would live with man. And so the sending of the Holy Spirit when Jesus returned to the Father after his resurrection and ascension, he sends the Spirit so that every one of us individually can begin to share in that face-to-face relationship Jesus has right now. God in Christ made us right with himself, and by the Spirit he's making us right with himself. If, I mean, we have these, I'm going to say if, but what I mean is, it's true what we do with it, though. So many of us don't want it. We don't want anything to do with God. You know, we don't want anything to do with Bible or church, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of negative experiences people have that can speak that to them. But the one who made us and gives us life, who enables us to take another breath, he made us right with himself. He brought us into relationship with himself. And he's encouraging us to live in union and communion with him through Jesus and the Spirit. That is ours. It belongs to us. He's done what is needed. And he's saying, believe it. Participate in it. Experience it. The Word of God united human flesh with God in his person, Jesus Christ, took that flesh through death, through the resurrection into ascension, sits in the face-to-face relationship with his Father in the Spirit, and includes us in the life of Father, Son, and Spirit. We have that wonderful, we don't need to live like we're separated from God, like we're left alone as orphans in this world. We're not. God has sent his Spirit so that we can participate in that relationship right now. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, our life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that amazing? The truth of who we are, of who we are in relationship with God, that's in Christ. In Christ. And it's our human flesh, that blindness we have. We refuse to believe. We refuse to accept that this is true. And then we can't see the truth. And but the truth is none of this would exist. None of our world, our cosmos would exist except by God being present. He made it in himself. He is present by his Spirit, and then he lives present always, as it says in Psalm 139. We can't speak a word that he doesn't already know it. He knows when we get up. He knows when we go down. We can go to the other end of the universe, and he's still there. We can't escape him. He's present always. But our unbelief is a powerful thing because, you know, we just can't believe it's true, and so then we just can't see it. But Jesus has done whatever he could to turn us back to the Father and enable us to begin to see the truth. There is a reality, an objective reality, the true spiritual realities, I call it, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, has made us right with God. And he sent the Spirit. And everyone has access to that true reality. And then we, our personal experience of that, though, will we receive this gift? Will we look and ask for open eyes? You know, will we ask to be freed from this unbelief? Will we continue to stubbornly say, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes? And God is so forbearing and gracious. He lets us go on our way if we stubbornly insist on it. And we'll experience the consequences of that. We'll experience the pain, the suffering, the loss. It'll feel as though we're orphans, but God never meant us to be orphans. And he sent the Spirit so we don't have to be orphans. But we sure can live like we're orphans. Yeah, that's the sad thing. God sent the Spirit, though, so that each of us individually can participate in Jesus' own right relationship with the Father and Spirit and be a part of that eternal, loving, giving fellowship of Father, Son, and Spirit, and the one we were always meant to be a part of and never be alone. And together as human beings, we were all meant to live in oneness with God and one another in that way. And we can participate in that. And God sent the Spirit so we could. So it seems to me when we're placed, as Paul did, the righteousness of law versus the righteousness of faith, that you can do the law thing and try to do it all on your own. And you can reap whatever, you know, benefits come from that, that hard work, that slavery. Or you can have the righteousness, right relationship with God based on faith. In trusting what Jesus has already done, taken care of, given us by the Spirit. Seems to me there's not much of a choice there. But then having chosen to trust in what Jesus Christ has done, there are benefits to Bible learning. And that's really thinking of it in terms of participation in what Jesus is doing right now and what Jesus did and will do. It's a participation in his life. It's his life in us, through us, by the Holy Spirit. It's a life of faith. And the scriptures can teach us how to work that out, how to walk that out. And especially when you read, you know, and get to know Jesus personally by reading the Gospels and then get to know him through the different epistles in the New Testament can give us some guidelines. And then we can just continue to look at the whole Bible, but through the lens of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us and will do for us in bringing us in right relationship with his Father in the Spirit. And as we come to communion, we can approach this whole thing of getting to know God's Word, the written Word of God, and the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, more personally. And we want to be reminded that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory now and forever because of what he's done, what we just talked about here. It's his life in us, with us, now and forever. And so we celebrate that. We give thanks for that. We acknowledge our need for that right now. And pray with me, please. Father, Son, Spirit, thank you. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the living word who came and took on our flesh to live our life and die our death and rise again. And send your Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Spirit, for coming and making Christ real to us. We pray now that, Heavenly Spirit, you will, as we take these elements, enable us to experience in a real way the indwelling presence of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So Jesus took bread on the night he was betrayed before his crucifixion. And he broke that bread and he offered it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. He was willing to offer his flesh, his body, on our behalf. His flesh, his body, his blood, which we drink this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your life for us. So now may our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, by the Heavenly Spirit, fill your hearts with faith, empower you to joyfully and courageously share this good news with others, the good news of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the one who is Lord of all. God bless you.